Hi guys, and welcome back to yet another episode of Saint Forward's Day Game and Dating Podcast. And this time we'll be talking about when you should and shouldn't spend money on girls you're dating. Old school dating advice like you should never buy a girl a drink, you shouldn't be going out for dinners, and in general worrying about girls wanting money from you is teaching you misunderstood dating concepts which simply gonna make you believe the same things that bitter broke men believe. In some cases, that advice is totally true, but oftentimes it is completely wrong. If you spend money when you shouldn't, you could be getting played, but when you are being too cheap, when you are not spending money when you should, you are simply appearing like a cheapskate who, let's be honest, decent women won't date. In this podcast episode, I and Robbie Kramer will be teaching you when you should and shouldn't be spending money on girls you're dating. You will learn how men are triggering gold-digging behavior, why you shouldn't worry about girls wanting your money, when is it actually okay and even good to spend money on girls you're dating, and why decent, smart women won't date frugal men. Also, why the best women oftentimes reject wealthy men, and why typical day game advice doesn't really work for wealthy men, and what they have to do different if they want to learn to approach women in everyday situations. If you are going out and getting numbers but want to improve your texting so more of those numbers convert to dates, check out my free texting course available on daygamecourses.com. And also, if you are getting dates but you want to improve your dating, you want to know what to do so more of those dates end in your bedroom, check out my free dating guide, also available on daygamecourses.com. You will learn everything you need. How to be an interesting guy to talk to even if you are a very serious person. How to help girls open up on dates. Why talking about sex is a big taboo if you want to get laid, and what to talk about on dates instead. The steps you have to take to go from the first touch to the kiss. How to invite her over to your place so even the good girls would want to go home with you. And why you should skip 80% of the physical escalation moves once back at the apartment. You will learn all of that on daygamecourses.com. Out of all the day gamers I know, most either got really good with women within 6 months of discovering day game, or never really got more than a few dates here and a few dates there. If instead of spending years to learn day game, you want me to help you, join our private community. The internet is full of day game content, and it's really hard to understand what works and what doesn't. I have been coaching guys day game for over half a decade, and after working with men from all over the world, not only have I understood what approach to day game works for the highest percentage of guys who try it, but also how to teach it so that it works for almost everyone, not just the really good looking social guys. You'll be learning to chat up beautiful women around you from monthly in-depth technical content, discussions with some of the best day gamers I know, monthly Q&As, day game infields, and of course you'll be able to ask me any questions you have in our group chat. You can find out everything about our private community by clicking the link in description. And of course, if instead of trying to learn everything on your own, you prefer me to teach you everything you need to know within 1 to 2 weeks, you can simply get private coaching. Half of the students I coach start getting laid already during the coaching days, and if they keep going out, taking action and doing the right things, most of the others do too, with some exceptions, of course. And you'll find out everything about in-person coaching with me in the link in description. And now let's get to this podcast episode's topic.
Robin and Robbie
meeting again.
Saint Robert and Mr. Robbie.
Yeah, so today we're again kind of merging both of our expertises, and me talking about day game and you talking about being in the circles of, how do we call that, influential party people? Or
I like to call it the global party circuit.
What is the global party circuit? Because I like the story you were just telling me before we started recording.
So when I was living my, you know, sort of crazy single party lifestyle, there was a, like, this inner circle of party people, which were mostly Instagram models, celebrities like Paris Hilton. I would see her at all of these events, and trust fund dudes, crypto bros, or Bitcoin bros, whatever we want to call them, tech guys. It's effectively think of like the Burning Man crowd. And there's like, there's these events scattered throughout the year that all of these people that are looking to live that, you know, that are basically on this circuit, they attend. So they go to Burning Man over Labor Day. So that's end of August, early September. And then Tulum, typically over New Year's. You've got LA, New York. I don't know if they really do LA Fashion Week. It's more New York and Paris Fashion Week, which I believe is in the fall. Then there's Art Basel, which is, I think that's early December every year. And then they go down to Tulum for New Year's. And then you've got, you know, basically the summer is more of like the high time. They're going to Mykonos. They're going to Ibiza. They're going to St. Bart's. They're going to, what else did I miss? Oh, the, what are those? I've actually never been to the F1, all the F1 series, right? So it's like that you have this circuit of, oh, Cannes Film Festival, for example, like you have these highbrow events and, you know, everyone goes for the art, but there's all these memes about people really just going to do a bunch of, you know, do a bunch of drugs and try to hook up. And there's a great Instagram account to follow to like get the lowdown on all of this. Super Snake is the account. And he just makes memes and just makes fun of this entire scene. So Aspen, I forgot about Aspen and, St. Moritz and what are the other places in the French Alps? Courchevel. Right. So you've got the ski season as well in there. And, you know, it's funny when you're on, because I was on that circuit for 2.5 years, almost 3 years. And it's like once you're in that world, right, and you understand your competition, you understand the other guys, you understand everyone's a fake shaman. All the dudes are like spiritual, but they're just doing to get laid. Right. All the girls are very much into, you know, aligning their chakras and whatever new age hippy dippy nonsense there is. It's like it's this very interesting little bubble of like the world's most beautiful, narcissistic, toxic people. Of course, there's some decent people in there. I was certainly on the borderline of toxic. It's really hard to not be toxic when you're in that environment because it's just so cutthroat. Right. Like if you attend Burning Man, and there's many different experiences you can have at Burning Man. You could have a sober Burning Man experience. Like there's almost 100,000 people that go, right? But there's a huge percentage of these types of individuals that are effectively going, chasing status, clout, wanting to have these transactional sort of experiences that can feel very vapid, right? So spending too long in that environment can literally suck away your soul. Which is eventually why I got out of it. But if you're looking to have that, like I wanted to hook up with Instagram models. Like I wanted to have that lifestyle. Like I saw guys like Leonardo DiCaprio, like Dan Bilzerian. I'm like, I want to have that lifestyle. Like just because they're celebrities or whatever, like, hey, like they made themselves, they got themselves there. And I wanted to do that too. So, you know, I kind of carved out my own little way to do it. And I did it. And, you know, I'm really glad I did it. I kind of checked that box off on my bucket list. You know, now I'm married and I'm not in that scene, but I'm always encouraging my clients and other guys who are looking to have those experiences. And, you know, if you want to date a really beautiful girl, even if she's not on that circuit, I guarantee she knows about the circuit. She's been invited on yachts and to villas and, you know, mansions and whatever. You know, she's been to Miami during Art Basel and she's been exposed to those guys. Those guys are hitting her up on Instagram. They're constantly, you know, throwing invites her way. So if you're totally green to that and you want that sort of very attractive, high status girl, you need to be aware that this thing exists.
In certain, especially in certain parts of the world, I think it's very Like, it's the Miami lifestyle, is Somme is the same. And then obviously, I mean, we're not even talking about Dubai, which I think is just,
oh, that's the capital.
Everything that happens there in terms of data. Yeah, I've seen some YouTube videos about the shit that happens in Dubai with the influencers. And I don't know if it's like totally true or not, but they're just outrageous. Let's put it like that.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually never been to Dubai. And, you know, I basically got off the circuit during, you know, COVID crushed the circuit, of course, you know, that shut everything down. But I was on this between 2016 and 2020. And that's when I got out of it. But I feel like Dubai in the last 3 or 4 years has really become the hub of that. You know, like, yeah. If you see a girl with photos of Dubai, the joke is like, you know, she's some sort of escort, because yeah. No girl actually lives in Dubai, right?
So. I actually have one guy in my community, one of the advanced guys, who's living in Dubai, and is day gaming in Dubai. That's a whole separate topic that I don't think he would want me to talk about on a podcast. So we won't do that. But it's, the stories are just very, especially knowing his background and. So mm-hmm. Interesting. So you partied with these people, and when you listed the people you meet there, of course you have celebrities, but you said tech bros and crypto guys, and would you, that list of people you gave, it sounds like people who, it's like the fast money people, the new money basically, and then the Miami people.
Well, it's a lot of old money too. There's a lot of trust fund dudes.
Well, yeah, that's trust fund. Okay, maybe new money isn't the best term. What I meant is people who made their money quick.
Yeah,
if you know what I mean. So
you're right. New money would work because it's trust fund babies. So it's not like they made the money. They're not old money.
Yeah,
right?
Maybe
they're.
So that's what I mean. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. It's yeah. That's inaccurate.
Mm-hmm. And in places. Like, for example, I'm originally from Latvia, and in Latvia we have all these people who made their money in the 90s.
Right.
Right after the collapse of Soviet Union, they all of a sudden got really rich. And then you have a lot of people doing, you have a lot of people doing legit shit, but you have a lot of people doing some, you know, they got in the right place at the right time. But no, but you have a lot of really legit people, like with interesting ideas and doing stuff, and you have a lot of that. And the conversation that we're going to having today is about these types of people. And there's a lot of people who have money. Let's call them high net worth individuals. I think that's the term that's being thrown around also in the kind of offshore and passport world. I've worked with quite a bit of. I'm actually surprised that I'm getting more and more coaching requests from people like that, because they've kind of done all the dating stuff and they're like, you know, but I'm still walking down the street and I see a hot girl and, you know, I don't feel cool enough. I don't feel a man if I can't say hi to any woman that I want on the street. And they really like that idea. And after working with some of them, I kind of saw the problems they have, and they're very interesting problems. Because these men, and I'm curious whether that's the same in the environment where you are, but in the environments where I meet them, they're kind of similar in the way they date. It is status driven. Like women have learned to recognize how these guys look. He doesn't have to. He can walk. Like a lot of them hang out in the same places. You know, same restaurants, the same bars. If you look at the each city has that neighborhood of these people. And then you have the same restaurants, the same bars, the same clubs, the same wherever kind of nightlife stuff. And when they walk into that place, like you can recognize, even if someone who walks in there for the first time, you will usually see that he's part of that crowd by the way he's dressed. By in a lot of the cases, it's also watches, like these types of people. I'm a big watch fan, but these types of people, there are like five watches that are associated with these types of people, and you can recognize that. You can see the typical cars, you know, the Maybachs and kind of things like that. Maybe back in the day it was a G-Wagon, but now it has, I think, become more of a gangster thing, where if you made your money in dirty ways, then you have a G-Wagon.
Totally.
But it's easy to recognize these guys, and one of the problem, and after working, and okay, and some of these men, they've been a part of that world, and they've realized that, just as you said, that world is fairly shallow. Like, it's about going out and getting drunk or doing drugs and partying, and that's it. And some of them have said, okay, listen, like, this is cool, but it's not my jam. I don't want to be part of that world anymore. And then they kind of start looking for, okay, what do I actually want to do in my life? Kind of, they start looking for themselves. Maybe they start doing some, like, I don't know, like retreats in Bali or wherever for like meditation or something. They start doing more sports, kind of start spending more time with their family or kind of, you know, they start looking at different priorities in life. They realize that, okay, you know, flashing money, I like that. I lived that. I checked it out of my list, and now I want to do different things. So, and they realize that one of the problems they have is, they keep meeting women that surprisingly want money and gifts from them. and that's one of the complaints I hear from them. What I wanted to understand from you is, because you've met a lot of these people and you've seen how they behave. And I've seen some of them. I've hanged out with some of them a little bit. I have some friends from that world, but, you know, it's definitely not my jam. So I've seen that, yeah, what they do is they dress similarly. They're like driving the same cars, wearing the same watches, hanging out in the same venues, and kind of behaving a little bit similarly. And that's definitely, as soon as they walk in the room, everyone knows, okay, this is one of those guys. And women know that. And then it's easy for these guys to meet these women and sleep with these women if they know how to talk to women at least a little bit. So maybe you could kind of tell the listeners, what are the things you've noticed, how these guys trigger these behaviors?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's when you're trying to use status, especially wealth, right? If you're trying to flash wealth and status, right? If you got a bunch of photos on your Instagram where it's like you in a Lambo, you know, showing off a watch or showing something of wealth, and like that is what you're signaling to the world. Like, who are you going to attract, right? You're going to attract women who are obviously like resonating with that energy. They're like, ooh, like I want those, you know, I want that same status. I want to feel wealthy. I want to like you're putting, like, basically we feel like we're all looking for things that we kind of didn't have in our childhood or something. Like for me, I was the, you know, the geek who was stuck in the friend zone. I was always envious of the guys who could like get the girl, right? So I needed to prove to myself that like I was the cool enough guy to get the girl. So like if you go back on my Instagram back when I was single, it was just like me on a yacht with like, you know, 20 half naked girls, or like, you know, I wanted to prove to myself, and I wanted to show the world, like I was no longer that loser who couldn't, you know, who girls didn't like. And you know, when it comes to money, like I didn't grow up like super wealthy or anything like that. Like my father's a physician, and we were like upper middle class, so I never worried about money, but I was also never like impressed with. I just didn't have like any sort of validational needs about money. You know what I mean? Because I was around enough of it, but it was never flaunted, and I didn't have any sort of like validation issues for that. And I understand when guys, like you'll see that a lot, like with rappers, for example, right? They grew up super poor. So what do they want to do? They want to basically flaunt, right? Like money, 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 because that's how they're overcoming, you know, that childhood lack of, right? So I think if you're that guy who's flaunting that to get laid, you're just going to, like, to those women, you're going to attract gold diggers, and they're not really gold diggers. They're not like trying to like take your money and like run, which is, you know, there's this big stigma of like guys, especially within the like dating community, seduction community. It's like, oh, gold diggers. Oh my God. It's like, I feel like it's just totally, guys are so worried about that. It's like, relax. You don't have to really worry about fucking gold diggers.
You know, just a quick comment. I think I'm not a guy with money. So, and I think a lot of the guys in a dating community, and especially, you know, like the old school day game community, kind of not even old school, just a few years ago, it was just guys worrying about, oh, she wants to go to this place and that, she's definitely trying to get this and that from me. Bro, you have no money. Shut the fuck up.
Like, exactly.
You have like average dudes like worrying about chicks wanting something from them. Chicks, like, they don't want anything from those guys because they have not, like, this conversation is about people who have a lot and there is something to take from them. So the average dude has zero reasons to worry about any of this stuff. It's hilarious.
When it's always the guys who are the, like, you know, the, like, barely, it's always the guys who are like not totally broke, not dirt broke, but like, yeah, the guy who's making, like, you know, between 80 and 150,000 a year, that guy's really worried about gold diggers. It's like, dude,
yeah, come on. Yeah. And in some places, you know, of the world, it's good money. And, but if you look at, I mean, okay, like if you're in Ukraine, then these guys will be kind of used a little bit, but if you're talking about kind of US and even Western Europe, then they're not who they're after. If she's a real kind of, if she's really after money, then because I did a podcast episode with one girl who used to be a sugar baby, like traveled all these places and party with Paris Hilton as well. By the way,
they have she's that story in the scene. Her as
well. Yeah. It was Ibiza.
Nice.
And she.
I forgot to mention Coachella. That's where I met Paris at a after party at Coachella.
And I remember her saying that. She was talking to some guy on Seeking, and she sees that on Seeking, I understand that previously you could see the guy's net worth.
Yeah.
And it was like something like 20 mil, and she's like, fuck that guy. It's like, fuck, he's poor.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, like the amount of wealth that these girls are exposed to, you know, they're meeting billionaires all the time.
Yeah.
And billionaires are a lot more common these days than they were 5 or 10 years ago. Right.
Exactly.
And multi-millionaires are way more common. Like, the world's getting richer, right?
We're peasants.
Yeah. So I feel like I'm kind of lucky because I was never exposed to like so much wealth that I had to like worry about it. But I was also never poor. So I had some bullshit to get over. You know, that's just one thing in my life that I don't have like validation or insecurity issues about that I had to deal with. But to answer your question, like just the whole gold digger thing is, it's really, if guys just erase that from their brain, they'd be better off. Cause the odds of actually meeting a real life gold digger, unless you're incredibly wealthy, it's very low. And like, if you're really old, right, and she thinks you're gonna die soon, now you might be a real target of a gold digger, right? Like, but those guys aren't listening to this podcast, I'm guessing.
Yeah, they're not their audience. Yeah, they're not.
Exactly. But I guess, to, you know, if you're signaling, if you're trying to signal, like, you know, hey, I can buy you, then there's going to be girls that are going to be like, all right, well, let's see what you got. Like, they're going to test you, right? So that's a bad idea, right? If you don't want to get that shit test, then don't present that kind of cheap way, I guess you could say, because it's a hack.
Yeah, and that's why I kind of like what you do, because you're basically teaching guys, okay, guys, you don't want to maybe necessarily use day game as your main thing, or you don't want to use this or that as your main thing. And you have a lot of guys, from what I understand, that are kind of doing this scene where you would see these girls that are looking for something, like Seeking and sites like that. But you're basically teaching them, okay, guys, well, if you want to chat with these girls and go out with them, but if you don't want to get played, like, okay, this is the playbook. This is how you do it step by step. And you teach them. I think that's really cool for people who kind of like that scene. I think that's really nice.
Thanks, Ben.
I had a guy who recently reached out to me and he wanted to learn coaching, wanted to learn day game. And, and he told me about his ex-wife. He was dating this beautiful, amazing Ukrainian girl, and they really clicked. It was just, you know, magic, love at first sight, whatnot. And really young dude, like mid-20s, and they got married pretty fast. And as soon as they got married, she becomes like slowly more and more demanding, starts asking him for more and more money. And at one moment, the requests just become ridiculous. And of course, like eventually they get a divorce and it's a messy one. And now she's trying to get 1 million out of the guy.
Okay.
So basically the guy met the one, like the girl he really clicked with, and he just got burned. And I talked about all of this with him when I asked, okay, like, so how did
and where's he from?
He's originally from US, but he's nomadic. He's living all over the world and a bunch of different places.
So he met this Ukrainian girl in Ukraine
In Ukraine. Okay. Yeah.
Interesting. So, and then how long, do you mind if I ask some more questions? Trying to get a better
I don't
profile.
Know much about this relationship, okay. But I can, as much as I can, kind of respond.
So he and how is he doing from a dating perspective? How long was he in Ukraine? How well did he do before he met her?
I don't know how long he was in Ukraine, but I understand he did pretty okay. But the thing he was doing, which is obviously partially the topic of this conversation, let's say he was flying somewhere and he was sending chicks photos from the flights and putting them on Instagram. And those were first class seats.
Okay.
And which obviously triggered a lot of behavior like this. And if you are in a virtue signaling like that, then that just gets a lot of that stuff. It invites a lot of those women. By the way, right. One thing that's interesting, I was thinking about this because I was talking about this with another student who's kind of also one of these guys. And I was talking about his dating experience and he was doing very good. He's late 30s, really cool guy. He's like a friend of mine. And he, when we started talking about this, I used term gold diggers and he said, no, like a lot of these women actually aren't gold diggers. And this was interesting for me. And he said, coming from that world, a lot of the women he also met were, yes, they like the money. Yes, they were in this for the whole lifestyle of this, but some of them were very smart women who had made their own money.
Right.
But then it comes back to what you were saying about these people in the Coachella and all of these places that, what did I want to say?
Have you read Dr. David Buss, Evolution of Desire?
I've started it. I haven't finished it.
Yeah. He talks about the tenets of gold digging and virtue signaling, and he goes into it in his book. He gives some pretty good scientific explanations, and effectively one of the points he made is like women are checking to see if you're going to share your resources with them, because if you are, then that's a very strong like mating signal for them. And they can trust that, they can believe that, like, okay, if this guy really likes me, he's going to share his resources. And if he just wants to use me for sex, he's not, right? So they'll almost go over the top to test that because they have to, right? They like, because otherwise it's very easy for guys to pretend, right, that they're interested when they're not, just to get laid. And so like these girls who might look like they're gold diggers because they're asking for, well, what about this? Or why wouldn't you get me a first class ticket? I saw that you were flying first class. Like, where's my first class ticket? It's like, well, and then you're like, well, why do you need to fly first class? Like, come on, just like, it's coach. But she's testing to see if you're like, first, if you're real. And second, like, well, if you are generous, then why aren't you being generous with her? Because if you're not being generous with her, then that's a very strong signal that like, you're not going to commit to her, or you might have like, you know, a ton of resources, but you're going to share those with lots of other women. And that's going to put her at a disadvantage if you guys have children together, because maybe those kids won't get the resources that she feels like they deserve. So it kind of comes down to this question of generosity. And there's especially from like the old school sort of pickup community, there was this huge, like, don't buy girls drinks. Like it effectively like, don't be generous, because if you are, then these girls are just going to take advantage of you. And they're going to like, these gold diggers are going to steal all of your shit. And it's like, no, they're just testing to see if you're generous. And the more generous you are, the less they're going to ask for it. That's what I found. It's like the guys who are the highest net worth that I coach, they're generous and they don't give a shit. Like if a girl asks them, you know, for like, hey, I know I'm in a bad spot. Like, you know, can you like loan me $1,000? They'll just be like, just take the money. Like you don't even have to give it back. Right. Cause it's so easy for them to suss out. Like if a girl, well, now, in the beginning it wasn't, cause they had a lot of like beta programming we had to sort of, you know, get through, but now it's for the guys that have money. It's like the $1,000 doesn't matter, but it's the guys who are like sweating over the $1,000 where they're like, oh, you know, this is probably, you know, it, that's not doing the best job of explaining that, but that's hopefully the point I'm trying to make.
I think it's tricky because a lot of guys, like, okay, I understand there are some instances where you would, you know, pay for stuff and then like, I'm fine with that. I think unless they're working one-on-one with you or they're part of your community, they're not going to be able to filter out in which cases that it's fine to spend some money and which cases they're being played. Because I think still if a girl is asking you for money or even complaining about, oh, it's so hard, like it's just fishing for you to say, oh, let me help you, you know, mm-hmm. It's just fishing. And I think unless they're getting really, really good advice on how to understand which case is which, I think 9 out of 10 of those cases are, you know, not a good decision to give money. I think if you can filter out for the right cases, that's fine. But I think almost no one can. And I think if she's asking, that's a big red flag. I would, yeah, that's how I look at it. But
well, it usually depends on like how early it happens, you know, in the interaction, in the relationship. Like one of the easiest scams that guys need to watch out for if they're ever like on Seeking or one of these other sort of sugar baby platforms, it's like the girl, and usually they're not even girls, usually they're dudes, who will be chatting and like all of a sudden they'll have some like crazy sickness, like they'll flake on the date because their mom's sick and they'll be like, oh, like can you send me like $20 for the Uber, right? And like you send the $20 and then you never hear from them again. That's an obvious scam. It's probably a dude, right? Yeah. Who's running that shit. Like, you know, it's actually a pretty decent way to make money. Like if you're totally broke and you want to make money, you can run the scam on Seeking. Because there's so many losers on there who would fall for it, right? You're just collecting $20 every, you know, 5 times an hour, you're making $100 an hour, right? Yeah. So that's a very common one. And then they're like, oh, my mom's sick. Can you send me $300? And then you never hear from that person again. That's a very common one. But it's always like pre-meeting, right? And then maybe occasionally you've got like the girl who's willing to play the longer con where she meets up and, you know, she probably doesn't sleep with you, or maybe she does. And then it's like on date number 4, she hits you up for like the medical bill. It's always a medical bill, right? Because it's like, you're not going to ask for like the medical records. You're not going to test her on that, right? So it's like an easy scam. But, you know, if it's a girl that like you're actually seeing and you've got like an established thing going, whether it's casual or not, then you've got to take those case by case. And I feel like most of those are mostly legit. You know, and it's funny, I've coached guys who actually prefer the sugar baby setup for many different reasons. I think we might have even talked about that on the last sort of sugar baby podcast we did. But these are guys who have money, right? They're all, you know, seven figure guys, and they're making, you know, at least $500,000, $1 million a year. And they intentionally, like as a way to casually date, they effectively like trade. I don't want to say they trade game for money, but they sort of do. Like they understand that like they can be less invested because they're supplying a need in her life to kind of like help her with, you know, an allowance or like a pay per meet sort of thing. It requires them to be less of a boyfriend that they may have to be otherwise, right? Because there's a lot of girls that are on these platforms that they don't know really what they're doing on there. She's like, well, I want to date a guy who's not broke. So I know if I go on a platform where there's a paywall, like $100 a month, then that's going to filter out most of the broke guys. And I want a boyfriend who's not broke. And like, I'm not going to ask that guy for money or an allowance. It's just going to happen like within the relationship. If we move in together, he'll probably be paying the rent and he's going to take me to dinner and so on and so forth. It's just like a natural sort of, you know, old school sort of relationship, right? It's not like the Scandinavian, we're going to go Dutch and split everything, right? It's the more of the standard way that like relationships happen, how they used to happen in the US, how they happen in Eastern Europe, Ukraine, Russia, probably, you know, Latvia, Lithuania. Those places are a little bit more progressive, I think. I've never been, but that's
they're in the middle between the two worlds, I'd say.
Gotcha. But yeah, that's going to be like the sort of like normal relationship. It's like the guy basically pays for everything and the girl, whatever, she contributes where she can and so on and so forth. And that's all fine and dandy. Or there's the guy who's, you know, maybe he's given her an allowance, $500 a week, $1,000 a week. For him, it's nothing, right? And that way he doesn't have to play the boyfriend role as much. And he can do that with three or four girls and kind of have his little rotation of fun, you know, fun sex partners, and he's happy.
Yeah,
with that
life. I think the important part with kind of if they ask for something is I like how you put it. Like, how long into the relationship does it happen? Like, if you're dating, and then, you know, of course you're gonna like. I mean, it would be really weird if your partner has some problem and you're dating her, and then you're not helping. Like, that's okay. It depends on how serious is the relationship. If it's just like a casual thing where you meet like once a week, then maybe like, okay, it's your decision. But if you're in a serious relationship, of course you're gonna help her and she's gonna help you like with whatever she can, and that's, you know, it's part of what relationships are about. It's kind of weird if at that moment a guy is like, oh, she just wants money from me, is like, dude, come on, like.
Right.
Especially if you're like really dating, not like, you know. And of course, if it happens after two dates, then that's a big red flag, and I would kind of stay away from that. Like very far away from that. But yeah, what I kind of was talking about here, what the whole point was that we're not only talking about kind of girls that want money. Like, a lot of these women who you will meet in these, a lot of women who want to date these guys who are a little bit, you know, showing off and throwing around money, a lot of these women are actually not gold diggers. They have their own money. They've done their own stuff. They just prefer to hang out with dudes who also have achieved something, instead of, you know, that's how they filter out for kind of really successful
right.
dudes. Although like I think a lot of really successful dudes don't even hang out with these people. And then there are the guys who have decided, okay, I like this lifestyle, but I'm done with it. I want to move on. And because they realize, and this is what the guy I told you, that the guy that you know, wanted to learn day game, one of these guys. And he told me that he realized even though he liked hanging out with these women, a lot of them were very shallow. Even though they had their own money and were running their own businesses and, you know, fitness and meditation and whatnot, it seemed like a front, and it didn't seem real. And he said, okay, I want something else. I want women with different values. And the big challenge this guy ran into is, as soon as he started looking for women with different values, all of a sudden his game didn't work. These women were just rejecting him, and just he goes on a date and they're like, no, like, it just, because, and then we talked about this and he couldn't understand why. And I explained to him, yeah, previously you were dating women who liked you because of ABC, you know, including your status and whatever. But if you're looking for women who are outside of these circles, who have different values, let's put it like that, and where what you see is what you get, it's more genuine, like, if they have been part of the circle in the past, or they understand how that circle works, like these, or they don't even have to have a history of that circle, but if they have been around guys from that circle, they see the behavior these men have, and they recognize very fast, okay, this is one of those guys, and they don't want to hang out with those guys. So when this, my student was looking for women who don't want to hang out with those guys, who have different values, but it didn't work. And I explained, yeah, the problem is because he was part of the circle, his behavior, he was behaving like everyone else of that circle. And then this woman sees how he behaves when he's chatting her up, when he's going out on a date, and she just sees him as all these other dudes, because his behavior, the game he learned, what worked with women, was from that environment. And he kept doing that with women who despised that environment and was very surprised. Oh my God, my game doesn't work. What do I do now? It's
I have a solution for this guy. It's not going to be a popular one. Could get me canceled, but go after younger women.
Robbie, you know very well that I think all of your guys, all of your students, all of mine, they all are going after younger women. No, like, well, that's what happens. All like, after kind of 20-something. Yeah.
Well, people get savvy, you know, like my savviness level. And of course, women mature way faster than men, right? I think there's like a, I don't know, I like a 7-year gap, you know, 28-year-old girl is like a 35-year-old man, right? I think it's even more. I think it's more like 28 is like 40. And, you know, it obviously like women get really savvy once they've hit their mid-20s, even late 20s, because if she's a beautiful girl, like by the time she's 15, 16, like she's starting to get accustomed to some of this lifestyle. And obviously, depending on how sheltered she is, by the time she's 18 or 19, like she could be in Ibiza Mykonos, she could be partying like on yachts and be doing all this crazy stuff. So by the time she's 21 and like party years, that's like a 34 or 35-year-old guy, because most guys don't get access to these sorts of things until their late 20s. So, you know, this guy you're describing, the story you're painting, I'm guessing, you know, if I had to put a guess on his age, he's maybe in his early 40s, and this woman who kind of is 40. Finding him out, I would guess, what's that?
Around 40, like a little, like around very 40? Late 30s, I think, yeah, around 40.
Okay. And I'm guessing this woman who like kind of, like the women that wasn't working on, I'm guessing they were probably in their late 20s, early to mid 30s.
Yeah, they were kind of at towards like that age already. Yeah. So that's right. What actually we did, because I like when working with people like that, I always explain to them that like you can't do the typical day game stuff. Like it will not work for you. If you do the same stuff that every other day gamer does, like if you do the same copy paste lines and then you dress like them and you look like you like, he doesn't have to do that because his social status is already so much higher. But and he can't just, you know, do like a day game bootcamp and expect, like, he will not do good, because these guys need to kind of rebuild their game, but they have to take into account their real personality. And when I coached him, I said, like, we're going to build your day game around your personality instead of kind of doing the same shit that every other guy running around the city is doing, because most day gamers, they don't have that status,
yeah,
like that these guys have and the resources and everything. So,
well, I ran into an interesting problem with my day game. So, you know, when I first started, I mostly did night game because that was sort of the thing to do. And like this was in like 2005, you know, the game had just come out and all of the stuff was all about like bar game and night game and meeting women, you know, at these public places. And then I learned, I learned how to day game a few years after that and realized that it was just way better than meeting women in bars and clubs, because, you know, you didn't have to get drunk. You didn't have to spend all the money. You could do it wherever, like she's walking around, like you got, like I moved to New York effectively to do a bunch of street game. This is in like 2012, 2013. And met so many amazing women just from, I mean, it's New York City, they're everywhere, right? And it's like, yeah. Europe's even better because these cities are even more walkable and, you know, no one's driving around in like the old center of the city in Europe. So I'd go to Europe during the summer and I'd just do tons and tons of day game. I mean, not tons by your standards, but eventually I started getting involved in kind of in that social circle scene. I partnered up with promoters and I started, you know, dealing with model houses and got, you know, invitations to go to clubs all the time. And I became scared to do day game because I knew that there was a very high probability that the girl, if the girls that I was interested in, right, the hottest of the hot that I was already networking with at the clubs and through these model houses, I knew that if I approached her on the street, there's a really high chance I'd see her in the club. And if that approach went poorly, it's going to affect my status in a negative way, right? And so I was a little bit like worried. So I stopped day gaming for that reason. And I didn't need to, because I was, you know, doing just fine from all the leads I was getting, you know, through my social circle. But then later on, I was like, well, I'm going to use day game still, because it's like she's there and I'm there. Like, why not? And just go a little bit more indirect, so it's not so obvious. And that way I wouldn't be, you know, it was like a quasi direct sort of thing, where even though I was like, obviously I was walking up and talking to her and that was direct enough, but I wasn't being nearly as like forward. I wasn't trying to take her on a date. I was more just trying to get her Instagram, play the long game, and eventually invite her to something within my social circle, like invite her to a group thing, and then play that long game. And eventually, if it worked out, it worked out. But, you know, that's, I feel like, you know, that I don't know if the guy you were talking about had maybe some sort of those experiences, or also depends on if you're traveling or if you're not. Yeah, like, if you're traveling, who cares?
He's living in one place, but
okay.
I kind of see where you're coming from, but it would have to be an extremely small place for you to actually run into a girl in an event that you approached on the street. And you would have to do a lot of approaches. Let's say I did maybe 1,500 to 2,000 approaches in Riga, Latvia, which is a city of 800,000. And after doing like around 2,000 approaches in a city that small, like, yeah, that's a problem. Like, it's not a good idea. You don't want to
do that.
Well,
it was a problem for me in West Hollywood, which is a big, it's big, but it's not, right? Because it's like, of course, there's so many people in LA, in West Hollywood. It's a huge metropolitan area. However, those same girls that like go to the clubs and they party all the time, it's not actually that many girls. And then once you get connected on Instagram, right? And it's like the levels of separation, it's only going to be one person most of the time. Like, if I know one hot girl, the odds that she knows another hot girl, so then she meet me and just, oh, how do you know that guy? Oh, that guy was kind of weird. He did this like weird approach. And that's the problem if you're uncalibrated. Like, if you're doing day game well, then it's not an issue, which I was, right? But like, what I'll see is some of these guys like using really uncalibrated, overly gamey things, and then it fucking burns them later on.
Yes. Yeah, so that's exactly how I look at it. For example, we did a podcast episode with you talking about expectations in day game. And, you know, kind of that if you're kind of a decent beginner, you're going to approach 100 girls to sleep with one. And if you're a really good day gamer, you're going to approach like 30 to sleep with one. But these conversions, they're about an average day gamer. Whereas this is where it gets interesting for these guys. If you take a guy who's a cool guy, he's not like a super geeky, you know, like, he's a cool guy, he's a social guy, he can talk to people. And if you teach day game to, and he has status, if you teach day game to a guy like that, and like, he's gonna do way better than that. But the important, that's not the important point. The important point is you're totally right that if you're doing day game, kind of, if you're doing the same stuff that every day gamer on the street is doing, but you're actually like a dude who lives a better life, has status and wealth and interesting life, like, if you're doing the same stuff everyone else is doing, like, it just, why would you do that? You can actually learn day game by building it around your personality, making it something that works for you. And then these guys do very, very good just because they have interesting lives, they have all the value, they just need to learn to deliver that value. And that's why, well, when working with that guy, I kind of explained him that five things that he has to learn. And it was actually, it became very simple when I explained that. First of all, I kind of said, okay, because he wanted to meet women with different values. And I kind of said, okay, first of all, like, define what you're looking for. Like, define your values and kind of, but not just define kind of theoretically, kind of look at how you're living your life. What are your actual values? And that's kind of like step one. So you understand what type of women you like, just so you know who to go after. And once you figure that out, it's actually very simple. Like, you have to understand, okay, where do I meet women like that? And he realized, oh shit, like, if I keep going to these places where I'm hanging out, I'm not going to meet them there. They're not in these clubs where, they're not in clubs, they're not in bars, they're not partying, they're not going all to these like hookah places and smoking hookah. And like, that's a thing in like that part of the world. You lived in Kiev, you know.
Oh yeah.
They're not that. In those venues, and it's okay. Like you have different places. Okay, you can definitely. For him, it was he chose day game, but you know there are different places where you can meet these women. And the third thing he had to understand, like, because he's used to meeting the same types of women using the same stuff that works in that environment of this kind of, I don't know, status environment, whatever we call it. He had to completely relearn how to meet, let's use the word seduce. I'm not a big fan of that word, but he had to learn how to seduce women who are already, and I like high value, like another dumb pickup term, like these kind of classier women. Like he had to relearn how to do all of that stuff because what he's typically doing just doesn't work with them. And they are in high demand. Like he has to have game. And he had to, the next thing was he had to learn, you know, what to do on dates with them. Because it's very different from, like, normally he would go on dates and then they go home when they would have sex. Whereas he went on this one date with a girl that he really liked and it was around Christmas. And he says, hey, I just got a Christmas tree. Let's go to my place. Let's decorate it with some wine. They go to his place, decorate the tree. He's trying to start to, you know, start doing something physical, like some escalation. And she completely rejects him. And he later told me, we were like, December 31st, we were sitting in like a bar and chatting with him. He was like, what the fuck? I'm like, I'm doing what I normally do. It always works. And with her, it doesn't work. Yeah, because she doesn't like you. So he had to completely relearn what to do on dates. But the next problem these guys sometimes have is, and this is the last thing he had to learn, they often think that women like that only want relationships. And there's no way that they're going to have anything casual. So he kind of had to relearn how to do casual. He had to relearn how to do casual stuff with them, not just kind of how to figure out what it is that you like, how to communicate about that with a woman. And you fix these five things and you can take a guy like that and he can go out, meet women that are classy, smart, with values that where they align. And as you said, okay, there aren't too many guys in the world interested in that, I think. Unfortunately, like a lot of guys, they prefer that lifestyle that you used to live, that, you know, the party and wild lifestyle. But there are a bunch of people who don't want that, who maybe want to move to a different thing. And yeah, and if they learn these five things, then this is very easily doable. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I found that most guys who come to me, you know, over the age of like 35, for example, even over the age of like 33, they no longer want that either, right? It's always the guys, I wanted that stuff when I was in like my mid to late 20s. And that's what I commonly see. And then guys in their early 20s, I feel like they think that's too like pie in the sky. How could I ever do that? That's impossible. I just want to learn some day games so I can get laid, right? I just want to learn how to meet a girl on Tinder and take her out. Like they're like, I try to teach those guys social circle and they're like, nah, that sounds complicated. Just, you know, how do I get this girl out on a date? And then
yeah, they have guys, texting questions. Yeah.
Exactly. But the guys like who are you're mentioning, right? A guy who's successful, he's in his like late 30s, early 40s. They don't want to be in that party scene, right? They're looking for, you know, obviously they're maybe interested in casual dating as well, but that's usually in an effort to find someone that they really click with, that they feel like they could maybe settle down with or, you know, have a long-term relationship, get married, whatever you want to call it, right? And those guys really aren't interested in that scene. And they struggle because it seems like all the girls that they meet, the hot ones anyways, are interested in that scene. And then the ones who aren't interested in that scene, they're like, well, how do I even meet those girls? Because there's a lot of those girls that are like, you know, they're in their early 30s or late 20s. They're like, I don't want to go in those scenes because I don't want to be offered ketamine and GHB like three times a night, right? I don't want the fake shaman to be like spitting game at me. So it's like you've got these professionals, I guess you could call it. It's like these women who are very attractive and like they're, you know, they're more seasoned in the date. Like both of these parties are more seasoned and they're not meeting each other because they don't want to go through the whole dog and pony show. They don't want to go to fucking Burning Man. They don't want to go to the rave. But if they did, right, maybe they'd actually meet each other. That's kind of the ironic thing. It's like they're, you know, and there's definitely what I've seen, there's been a major like COVID hangover, I think, for those sorts of people. It's like COVID came, it fucked everything up. And now it's like they're still like kind of, you know, PTSD from that. And they almost like don't even want to date anymore because it just felt so hard and difficult. But what I've been seeing from some of my clients that fit this description is that's sort of decreasing a little bit. Like people are starting to go out and be more social and trying to find some of these communities where they can meet, and it's not so much fueled around like the scene or the circuit or the parties or this. And I think there's a need for that. Maybe you and I could figure out some sort of, I don't know, figure out a way to like help those people link up. Because, you know, you've got Raya, which is like the more high end sort of, you've got the Tinder Plus, which is, don't get me started, the $500 a month Tinder nonsense thing. Like, but people are using that. Like they're turning to that. They're using, you know, a lot of people are using Seeking for that exact reason, but you've got to sift through, you know, the prostitutes and the, you know, the sugar daddies, like to find that it's just tough for those people to meet each other. So.
Well, that's, you know, that's why I like doing, you know, so every few months, like we do a podcast with you. And I really like this because we agree on a lot of ideas in dating. And then you have your expertise in your niche and I have in my niche. And I like that we, in a good way, disagree on what are the best places to meet women. Like I'm always for like, okay, we can do day game, and you're like, we can do this. And I think that's where the quality conversation comes from. And I think that's why it's also interesting for our audience, is because if someone in my audience is listening, and I know I have dudes that are like, yeah, like I want to do Seeking. And I always tell them, I was like, okay, well, there's a guy, he's Robbie, go to his website.
The funny thing is I've actually never like, when it comes to Seeking, I am not the expert, but I have so many guys in my community that are like the Seeking gangsters. I'm always just like, well, talk to this guy, talk to that guy. Like, cause I always used it to grow my social circle, but you know, there's certainly other ways to use it. That's for sure.
Yeah. That's why I'm going to like, you know, that's why it's interesting to have these conversations where like, if I always know that if someone in my audience here is like, okay, like I want to do this, like whether it's Seeking or social circle as well. We talked about that a lot. Like, and then they can always go and like, and I join your community and learn about that. And then, you know, some of your guys discover me that way. And that's always fun to kind of to see and then see what they've learned.
One of the funniest things that happened, I think it was just today. So we've got, I showed you the approach tracking, you know.
Yeah, I've seen how it looks.
Right. There's one guy in particular that he joined your course.
He recently got a LA. He recently got a day game, like, finally, because I'm going to tell you the story, but yeah.
I know that because I can see his data. He still uses the tracker. And he was actually first place within my community, and he's in your community because it tracks up like, you know, first date approaches, first lay, like it tracks, and there's like a leaderboard and there's a scoreboard of like who did what. And it was like, first place is this guy. And I'm like, I sent out a message to everyone in my Discord. I'm like, you guys should be ashamed of yourself. A guy who's no longer in the community beat all of you. So, you know, that's a testament to you, I guess.
Actually, he has an interesting story. I don't want to go in like specific details because I don't have permission from him, but I'm going to tell like the general idea. So when I start, and I've only done like maybe like four calls with him, and he's in my community, but kind of the way I looked at it is I looked at his stats before he joined. And I knew, okay, this is how many girls he has to approach to get a number. This is how many numbers he has to do to get a date. And I'm not looking to date too late because he had a very low day game lay count. But what I told him from the beginning, I said, listen, when we start doing this, and I always tell this to people in the first call, I'm saying, it's going to get worse. Like, it's going to get really worse. Like, nothing's going to work. And this is what happened. Like, for the first three calls, it was just like, he's open to number, just he was getting way less numbers. Those numbers were not responding, but because he had to, like, I reprogram people in a good, like I teach them a different system.
Well, he was using the natural lifestyle system.
Yeah, something like that. And whereas I kind of switched him to, okay, like now we're going to do my approach. And that's why you got to destroy everything and nothing works. but then you start rebuilding it. And by the call four, he was back stats-wise. He was back on where he was before we started, right, which is what I wanted to guys keep. Okay, drop, and then he's like, kind of like getting back up there. And now it should only get better. But I didn't want to make him a case study yet. I want him to get a few more day game plays, which I think, you know, in a few calls he will get. And then yeah. I think I want to do him as a case study because he was a very – it's a very – he has – he can learn this. Like he's never – I don't think he's ever going to have like 1 out of 30 open to lay ratio, but I really think he can learn it. And he's like – he's very dedicated. He's just going out like crazy.
He's
like
an action taker. That's why he was on the leaderboard because he would just approach more than everyone else.
Yeah.
But the thing, you know, I guess that, how would I describe it? Like, so it took me, he was in my community for 6 months, and the first 4 months, like we were telling him, dude, you got to improve the way you look. Like your fashion's terrible. Your hairstyle's terrible. Like you are just completely, like if you're like an 8 out of 10, you look like a 4, you know, you're presenting like 5 points below. And he wouldn't like, he was just like, no, I'm just going to approach more. He wouldn't take that advice. Finally, when he ended up hanging out with some of the guys in my community and meeting face to face, I'm like, take this guy shopping, 'cause he won't listen to me. He won't do it. So they took him shopping. They got his hair done. They got him a makeover basically. And he looked so much better. Yeah. And then he left the community. So I was like, damn it. All that hard work, right?
Hard work. Yeah, I know. He said he actually improved his style when he was in your community. Yeah.
So, well, that was so big for him. So I'm really glad he's. Well, I can see that he's crushing, but I'm really glad
he's doing okay. He's one of those guys who decides and does.
Yeah.
Sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a bad way. In like just as you told him, like you got to do this, and he says, "No, I'm going to approach more." I actually told him he should approach less.
Really? Yeah. I was telling him all the time.
But no, the dude has potential, and if he gets a few more lays, it's going to be a very beautiful transformation story of someone who really struggled for like a lot of approaches, and then finally, yeah. But you know, let's not call
well,
it
he yet, also, you know. I mean, he was saying things when he first joined, like, I don't think any of this is worth it. I'm just going to give up on women completely and be celibate and sail around the world and not give a shit about any of this stuff. Like he was like, you know, and there was always, you know, he'd come on the calls and he'd have this very sort of like dark negative energy about the whole process. And all of the other guys in the community were like, dude, no, you can do this. Like, we're here for you. We have your support. Yeah. And I love to hear that he's kind of, it sounds like he's moved past that.
Yeah. I don't, mm-hmm. I feel like that vibe is maybe 10%, 20%, like it's sometime, but no. It's taking action, learning is like very kind of dedicated. And the important part is he's doing coaching calls because it's like sometimes it's hard if you just take content and then learn that way. It's anyway.
Yeah, that's what he needs. That's great.
For people in my audience, if they decide they want to learn some social circle stuff or they want to learn how to do good on seeking, where do they go? What should I put in description and what will they find there? Let's give them a call to action.
The best thing is just hit me up on Instagram, send me a DM, tell me you saw me on the podcast with the more handsome Robert. That would be you, my friend. and then I can link them. You know, they could also just go to my site, innerconfidence.com. I just created this new little quiz, which is pretty cool. It will show you like exactly what areas you're excelling in, what areas you're falling short, and then give you some content based on that. And then if you follow along with that, then there's all sorts of stuff that tells you how to get in contact with me. So yeah, that innerconfidence.com or Robbie_Kramer.
I'll link your Instagram and the quiz in the description, and if anyone Perfect. Decides that they want to give a shot to chasing some women on the street, if you see a beautiful girl on the street and want to be able to approach her and chat her up in any environment, then
go to my friend Robert.
Yeah, and I created a video where I go over a bunch of reasons why guys just fail when learning day game, because there are a lot of guys day gaming, going out and approaching women, but what's happening is they never get back, like they never get more than, you know, just a date here or there, like a lay here or there. They're very inconsistent, you know, like one lay in a few months, like a date here, like, you know, they approach a bunch of women and get a one date. And it's not really, you know, it's not, that's not success. That's not why we're doing this. We're doing this to meet beautiful women consistently and better women. And so if anyone wants to kind of learn about my look on day game and why that happens, why people struggle learning day game, then they can go to my website, strobert.blog, strobert.blog. And on the top, they can just click community. And they're going to get that video where I explain all of that stuff. And probably, I hope you will link the link, or the community link in the description.
Sure.
And they can that. Wonderful. Well, let's wrap it up.
As always, my friend, it's been a pleasure. And I'm sure in 3 months from now, we'll find another topic to riff about.
Definitely. Okay. Ciao, guys.
See you guys.
If you have any questions about this podcast episode, feel free to ask them in the group chat in the private community. And if instead of spending months or even years learning to chat up women in everyday situations, you prefer me to teach you everything you need to know in 1 to 2 weeks, you can find out all the details about in-person coaching with me by clicking the link in the description. How the coaching usually works, pricing, etc. And if everything sounds nice, we'll hop on a short WhatsApp call to talk details. That's it for this time. Ciao, guys.